everyone. This is David. Welcome back behind the velvet robe. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only Mr. Ralph Pittman Jr.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me.
How are you? Thank you for being here. And what is going on today in Atlanta?
Oh, man. You know, every day is a great day in Atlanta. Weather is getting warm. You know, I'm trying to just make sure my grass doesn't singe. Just a bunch of stuff happening. So, you know, I don't know if you watched the show, but we recently purchased a house. Ton of things to do. I mean, this place, it's never a dull day, never something that I don't have going on. So, like, literally, it's a lot.
I mean, I am a self-respecting gay man. So, I mean, do you think I watch the show or not? Like, of course I watch the show. I mean, yes, I do. So that's good. So you're busy in the new house, right?
Absolutely. A lot going on.
It's a lot going on. So before we get to the show and all of that, I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised as I was preparing for this to realize that you, I mean, I'm in New York City. Like, you are from New Jersey. I love it.
Yes, absolutely.
Who would have thought you were a nice Jersey boy?
That's the thing. I thought that people would probably figure it out. Like, wait a minute. Who is he? You know, of course, straight to the point, straight no chase, definitely East Coast guy.
You have the East Coast Jersey, New York energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you love growing up in New Jersey?
I wouldn't trade it for the world. It really, truly gave me and made me the man I am today, the character that I have. The pursuit. I mean, you know, that's one thing. It's like a New York mindset. You know, everyone is really, truly about getting it, what you have to do. And I feel like if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
It's true. We have like that fast pace. Listen, no one is rolling out the red carpet for you in New York City. I can tell you that. Exactly. What about, and then you went to Rutgers. So you stayed in New Jersey. Did you love Rutgers?
Oh, Rutgers. It was a great experience. You know, I didn't go that far. Like, literally, I'm from New Brunswick, interesting enough. And then all of a sudden, I literally went to school probably 3 miles away. Like, Mom, I'm over here. Don't bother me. You know, like, I'm doing my thing. I want the whole experience.
She must have loved the fact that you were close by, though.
Oh, absolutely. Anything that she needed, Ralph, I need you to your help. I'm there, you know? So that was a benefit for her, definitely.
And you played football there. Were you always like a sports guy growing up?
Yeah, that's my outlet. So I started off running track when I was young, went to the Nationals running track when I was 10. And then from there, fell in love with football and ended up going and playing in college. So it was great.
And you have, I have a left brain, right brain. I used to practice corporate tax law. I'm a CPA. I don't talk about these things very often. And here I am doing this job. So you have kind of the right brain, left brain too. You majored in business and music.
You got it. Absolutely. And that was one of the things that's phenomenal also. So I created something called My Mind Music for Kids. It's a sleep system, but I am trained. I like literally play, like really, really play the piano. So I will play. And of course, my areas I focus, R&B, neo soul, gospel. I grew up in the church and literally play all kind of different music. And so that was kind of a big thing behind me. I use music actually for therapy as well, even for myself. It's like the best instrument.
Listen, I mean, something is wrong with someone if they're not into music. Like, who doesn't love music, right?
Exactly.
What music, like, who did you grow up loving?
Oh, of course. I mean, you think about it, you know, Prince, Luther Vandross, like, all. At the end of the day, I love, like, real true music, real singing, real sounds. And that right there has been, like, the beginning of like my foundation. You know, of course I like the rap and everything. Also Outkast, those guys are huge. A lot of Biggie Smalls and everything. You know, those are part of my era also.
Prince is way up there for me. Like I seriously think Prince is the biggest musical genius of our generation. Like whether you love him or not, like it's not normal.
And he plays everything. This guy isn't like, he's a phenomenon, you know, like he does everything.
Like, I don't understand. Like, I think that first album, I think they said like when he went to Warner and they were like, well, who was this band? And they were like, no, that's one man playing all of that. You're like, Prince is just amazing. He will be missed. He is missed.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk to me about My Mind Music, which you just mentioned. Like, what is that for? It's to when you go to sleep.
Yeah, actually. So it's a sleep system that I created for kids. And so I packaged it up You know, it starts off with a fun exercise just to make the sleep time actually fun and exciting. So, you know, what kid wants to go to bed? They're never excited about that, but it actually works in tandem, has a little quick exercise. And then from there, it actually has music that really truly just soothes and unwinds you so they can rest their little minds. It helps you get to REM sleep faster.
Wow. Do adults use it too? I mean, so many people have problems sleeping.
I use it. That is my medicine, you know, like literally I can't take, and that's the big thing, right? What do you take to in order to fall asleep? Some people will go and medicate, you know, melatonin, people take Xanax, whatever it might be, just to unwind your mind. Me, for myself, sometimes my mind is always going, I mind you, I just told you that I'm an East Coast guy like yourself. I can't turn my mind off sometimes. And really, truly, I put on my music and it just takes me there. Next thing I wake up, I'm like, wow, I'm refreshed. This is incredible. So literally, I knew I had something when I actually created it and put it together. I also have an album for adults called Changing Seasons. So definitely check it out. It's released on all platforms.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it or not, don't have a problem sleeping most nights, but I am in the complete minority. I do not have one friend that can go to sleep on their own. I think just because I'm so emotionally and physically exhausted every night by the time that I go to bed, I just, for something, I like allow myself to turn off my mind, but none of my friends could. So this needs to be employed. I'm not really one to do sleeping pills or anything like that either. So I would choose this way before that. And you worked on The Preacher's Son also. How is it writing music for certain movies?
It's incredible. It's phenomenal. It's like one of those things where you get have an opportunity to use your gifts, right? And figuring out where you can. As you mentioned before, it's like, who doesn't like music? But the crazy thing is, people use music for everything, regardless if you like it or not. You use the music because it's like, imagine a movie without any kind of music, any kind of climax, the various different cues. Think about even music when you come into a scary movie. That's music and that's production just to build up, you know, and really truly prepare the movie for what it is. So it's underrated and not something that you think about too much, but has a huge impact in your day life.
Is music like your main focus? And I don't mean any shade by this, or do you have like a side gig too with other entrepreneurial jobs? Because a lot of people, I think, like from watching the show, were like, what does Ralph do? Like, what does he do? Like, I didn't know if you go to an office. There's no shade. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I used to have my own business, but I'm like, what actually do you do other than that? So, not that you have to do anything.
Of course, I have to do a lot, you know? And so the whole thing about it is I went to Rutgers and graduated, as mentioned before. I ended up getting into business and actually started off as a sales executive. And so that's been pretty much the crust of things. I'm in technology. That's my core, my bread and butter, something that I work. So I work with Fortune 100 companies, helping them with their either their digital strategy, go-to-market strategy, IT strategies, and everything else that comes together. Matter of fact, I'm talking about the whole entire shift as people are now starting to enter back into the office. What does that mean for organizations and how do they make sure that they can compete on this war of talent? So there's a lot of various different things. So I actually, behind the show, I'm actually this, you know, this smart guy that really truly walks in and helps, you know, various different high-level executives handle different challenges.
Have you seen crossover now in like your day-to-day job, like where, you know, you're on a Zoom or if you're going in person where someone's like, isn't that the guy on Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yeah, it happens all the time, you know, or somebody just notices like, Ralph, oh my God, I can't believe I'm working with you right now. And it is some, I forget that, you know, that you can actually see me on TV or you might, because I just walk around just being regular. I'm always ready to go and handle whatever activities we need to do. So sometimes I'll get these random requests or meetings or emails and, you know, I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden they jump into it. Like, I don't want to, you know, come off across the wrong way, but I saw you on television, you know? And so it's like, so we'll talk about that for a while. And it's one of those kind of exciting things to do.
You're like, now let's get back to work.
Now let's get back to business here. Now let's get.
What about, because I know like fitness is a huge part of your life as well. Like I know you did like Drop It with Drew and Ralph and now like Ripped with Ralph. Like tell me about all of that.
So, you know, I lost my father about 8 months ago and fitness has always been a huge aspect of my life. But, you know, having kids sometimes you just fall off. I mean, how do you pull it together or keep it together? Get the dad bod, you know, and it becomes sexy, you know, to try to make that thing something, you know, fascinating. Or, but what happens is a lot of people are starting to suffer from heart disease. So my father's also suffered from it. I didn't have a chance to meet my grandfather, and now my kids don't have an opportunity to meet their grandfather. And so I want to make sure that I can help people shift the, or make a paradigm shift so they can really start living a healthier life. So that's the reason behind Rip with Ralph, is to really truly help people to be physical fit. It's not about just looking great and sexy on a beach, although that's a great perk, but really truly being able to live a long, healthy life where you don't have to be confined to medications and things of that nature. That's the true benefit.
And how does that work? Like, is it online, or, I mean, like, tell me about that.
You got it. So basically going to Rip with Ralph, it's an online program. So we have virtual sessions as well as in person, depending on the city that you're in. It's a community, right? Everyone needs an accountability partner. And working out, I'm thinking that you will like this, right? A lot of the times you work out, it's either you're one of two things. Either you're self-motivated and you can be the one that, I don't care, you don't need anyone or anything, you're going to make sure that you're determined to get to the gym. You got the other group of people that that really truly aren't about working out at all. And they really truly pull on somebody else to help them and be their accountability partner. A lot of the time they're picking somebody that doesn't work out either. And so what happens? Everyone's waiting for themselves to quit, right? It's like, all right, I'm going to keep going, but I'm looking at you, side-eyeing you to see if you're done. Because as soon as you quit, I'm going to quit also. But finding somebody that already is a part of that lifestyle that can really help and guide you. You need somebody that's already there, accomplish their fitness goals, and really truly has that kind of no limit mentality already, and can really help, you know, pull you up so that you can get to the goal that you need to accomplish as well.
It's hard to go, yeah, and work out every day if you're not in that mindset. I mean,
right.
A lot of people have a problem with that. Speaking of the dad bod and being a dad, how is, you know, talk to us, you know, we've seen you on the show with Drew. Talk to us about how you met Drew.
Interesting. So actually I was at an NBA gala in New York. In LA actually. And so I was getting ready to come out of there, getting my car. And then all of a sudden a little boy runs out into the road. There's a football. He's chasing his football. And then all of a sudden I see Drew run out behind him and her sister run out behind him. I'm like, these kids don't know. They don't know what they're doing with this kid. So I go grab the football. I start playing catch with JoJo. Didn't know him at the time. I told Drew, I was like, oh, you have a cute kid. Her sister comes up and says, you are the kind of guy that's going to be right for my sister, you know? And because I'm a business guy, right? More than just an entertainer. So we ended up going out on our first date, and literally it lasted 12 hours. And, you know, the rest was history. We had a lot of various different things in common. The first thing that we did, I was like, oh, you sing? I play the piano. I was like, let's have a jam session. So we went and played, like, Name That Tune. Oh, she taught me how to do the Chicago two-step. It was a blast. So that was probably like one of the best nights of my life.
So when her sister says that, what do you say? Like, okay, let me have the number. Like, you close the deal right away.
Well, you know, of course, I think everybody, it's LA, you know, I think I'm one of those guys that can have anybody I want, not for nothing. So it's like, I want to make sure I get to know who you are, make sure that there's compatibility. I have like five areas or 5 degrees of compatibility that I need to make sure that you actually have. And if you have it, then we can talk. Or three out of the five I need to have. If you have two, can't really do too much.
What are these 5 areas of compatibility? I mean, so, I know you're off the market now and all, but let's just hear this.
Oh, for sure. So you have first you have your spiritual compatibility. You have your mental. Can we think the same? You have your physical compatibility. Are you in shape? Do you care about your body? Is health and fitness something major? You have your sexual compatibility. Are you good? You know, do you actually even like having sex? Like, those are things that really, truly some people overlook. And then the other 5th area is, you know, our ability to where we are equally yoked. Are we on the same page even financially? Can you be my backbone? Can I support you? You know, how are we in that particular area? So those are my 5 levels of compatibility.
You know those off the top of your head, don't you? Like, you're like making me think now, like, I wonder how many I have, but that's interesting. You know, like, I'm like, what criteria do I judge people on?
Yeah.
And Drew had all 5 of these.
Not at all. She had a strong 3, you know, and that was it. 3 to 3 to, I would say probably 3.5. And that was enough, because of course you're not going to find somebody that's perfect, but you need to find somebody that you can grow and build with. You know, I will say this, Drew is the worst person when it comes down to like punctuality and being on time and showing up. Her mindset, she's truly a thespian and I'm this business guy. So I'm all about time, East Coast. I got to be here. I got to accomplish this. These are my goals. It's laid out. You know exactly what I'm about. It's business. With Drew, she's like, time is a man-made thing. Who cares about it? Like, go to the beach and everything just comes. And I believe in attraction. And, you know, so it's a different mindset. And so the two of them, once again, left and the right side of the brain, which one do you actually go towards? So her system doesn't necessarily work well with me. And, you know, of course, vice versa. Now, for me, it actually creates a great balance because she can be the dreamer. I can be the person that actually can create things and make them turn into reality.
Do you get as stressed out when planning a vacation as I do? Where to go, what to do, where to stay? I definitely needed some extra help in choosing the perfect spot for my next vacation. And that is why I turned to Apple Vacations. They're great. They're known as America's favorite vacation company for good reason. Just think of them, and this is music to my ears, as your one-stop shop for that next level summer vacation. Apple Vacations will help you plan your entire getaway with confidence from start to finish. We're talking personalized service, exceptional values, and so much more. Plus, you can choose the most gorgeous destinations like Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America, Hawaii, and the continental US. Each all-inclusive Apple Vacations package includes round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, meals, drinks, entertainment, and tips. Nonstop transfers are also included at no additional cost at select hotels. So the entire vacation is as seamless as possible. For a limited time, you can use promo code SAND75, that's SAND75, and take $75 off your stay at Live Aqua in Cancun or Punta Cana. Just go to applevacations.com/BTVR to get the steal of a deal to your favorite Live Aqua resort today. Again, just go to applevacations.com/BTVR to get this amazing deal at your favorite Live Aqua resort today. Yeah. That makes sense to me. I'm more about the East Coast being on time too. Like, but you're right. Yeah. It is such a thespian thing. Like, it's just a creative mindset and like no judgment, but a lot of those like thespians, just, they're not great with time.
Not at all.
In my experience. And then you guys had a whirlwind romance and ended up getting married. And is this true that you asked Josiah for her hand in marriage?
Oh, absolutely. I had to, you know, they're a package deal. So, I mean, if you're a part of her life, then I'm not only marrying Drew, I'm marrying him as well. So yeah, absolutely. So I asked him for his hand, and it was interesting. I took him off for ice cream. You know, Drew was getting her nails done. I'm like, come on, come with me. Let's go and get some ice cream. So I sat him down like, hey, look, I love your mother and I would like to be your father. Would you allow me to be your dad? And he said, yes. So it was interesting. And he was three at the time.
Wow. So you guys are living this life, a great family unit, you know, and then here we go. Tell us how Real Housewives of Atlanta came about for you guys. I know you were living in LA first and then you guys were moving to Atlanta. So how did the show come about for you guys?
Well, for Drew, because they cast
for Drew. Yeah.
So what ended up happening is they actually came around like three times. First time they came around, Drew was in the hospital having Makai. So of course, timing just wasn't great. The second time they came around, I don't know exactly where we were, but I think probably living in Chicago. And I didn't want any parts of the show at all. It's something I don't watch. I didn't really care for. I'm a successful man, you know, self-made. I don't need it. And then the third time, it's like the third time when it comes back around again, you take a second look. I told my wife, I was like, listen, if there's anything that you want to do, I would never stop you from that dream. I'll support you. And I think I was just in a really good place. She caught me on a great day, where I was like, all right, you know what? I will consider doing this. If this is something that you really want to do. And, you know, we ended up going for it. So I got on camera and we did the, we showed them who we are, brought them into our lives. And they're like, yes, we want to make you guys an offer. So that's how we ended up coming on.
Yeah. So they did cast Drew, to your point, but you know, like you and the family are in it. So did you know, like, what you were getting into? You know, that the fact, like, you know, you've been through a season now, the cameras are there all the time. Like, it is Drew, she got it, but it is about you guys too. Like, you're on camera. Like, was that, were you like, huh, I never realized that we would be, you know, this much of a part of it when you pursued this opportunity?
Yeah, the very first day of filming, as soon as we came into the house and that we had the scene, that the breakout scene that everybody saw, where all of a sudden I left and went to Tampa for 3 days. Oh my God. You know, I forgot, you know what, when I left, true story, when I left, I did not think about cameras at all or anything about filming. And it just so happened that when I came back and they shot the scene, I was like, okay. So when it aired for everyone at the same time. And that was rough. So I didn't know what I signed up for at that very moment.
Right. And did you, so to that point, like, did you know as you were filming it and, like, you know, maybe there were more conversations about this 3 days in Tampa, like, did anything tip you off of, like, you know, like, did you think, oh, wait, this, you know, it's one little thing out of all these things that happened. Were you like, this is going to be a thing, or not even at all? You were just like, it was one little thing.
I didn't think it was that bad, but, you know, America thought different.
It had its moment on the show, that's for sure. So did you watch any reality TV before this? Like, were you a fan of, like, the genre? Not even Housewives, just, like, any reality TV? Or you never really even got into reality TV?
I never really got into it too much. You know, I don't watch too much TV to begin with. You know, if it's not a game on, then I'm usually doing something else. So, yeah, I didn't know what I was getting myself into at all.
What about, like, did Drew or you guys as a family have any reservation in the sense that, you know, like, Drew's like an actress, like, you know, you're a musician, like, she's been in, like, Girlfriends and What I Like About You and, like, you know, white, like, real acting jobs. You know, did you guys have any, like, I don't know if reality TV is the right, like, genre for her because you're an actress, although it is different now than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. You know what? That's an interesting question. I would say, as we think about how the world is changing and how everyone is perceived, this is a social media world. And so the reality is yes, Drew's a bona fide actress. She's absolutely phenomenal at what she does in her job. But now you're starting to see reality stars getting jobs and getting booked just actually over real people that have, you know, training in being an actress. And so the market has changed. Everything is about numbers now. You're following. People want to know not only who you are and do you have talent, they want to see your numbers because everything comes around to the box. It's all about a popularity type of a thing. And so I think being on reality was something new for her, something exciting and different, but also an opportunity to just rebrand herself for whatever it is that she wants to do. So that's kind of the approach that's being taken more so. It's like, all right, you know, how are you going to, and even as an actress, you got to keep on recreating yourself or people will forget about you.
Yes. Yes. And yes. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at, like, Lisa Rinna on, like, Beverly Hills Housewives, like, she is one of probably the best examples of someone that has a really long career on reality TV and as a housewife. And she had, like, a career for, like, a really long time before that. So I do think, especially, like, with TikTok and all this other stuff, like, it's all about the numbers these days.
Mm-hmm. That's why you see people that probably you never thought make a TikTok. They're out there making TikToks like, show me this thing, grabbing all the millennials and Generation Z, like, show me how to do this dance. So you have everybody in it. Everyone, if you're not on social media and doing something, then you're going to be left behind.
Are you on TikTok?
We've done one video on TikTok where Drew pulled me in to do this dance and it literally went viral. So it's a pretty good one. Yeah. Check it out when you get a second.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to check that out. I am not on TikTok. I'm on everything else. And just in the past week, I'm like you, like, if I have time on my hands, I'm like, how does this relate to business? And I'm like, what should I do next? And I was like, I think I should get on TikTok, but I'm not really a fan at the present moment either.
You don't see yourself doing the dances and everything?
Not the dances. Definitely not the dances, but I'm going to check yours out.
All right, go for it.
What was the best and worst part of this experience from your first season on Real Housewives of Atlanta, now that you have your first season under your belt?
I would say the worst part of it is I believe it's a gift and a curse, because initially, man, they came out once again blazing. And so it was like all the hate mail that I received, that was just something I didn't expect or pretty much sign up for. And so it had to be something I had to adjust to. The best part about it, I would say, is given the opportunity and a platform, number one, to highlight my father, and, you know, for the show to actually be able to showcase that aspect of my life. And then also the moment where we were able to share JoJo and me blending our families together. So JoJo, as everyone knows, as you know, he has his biological father. He was incarcerated at the time when I came into his life, and now he's out, and he really wants to have a relationship with his son. And so being able to bridge that gap was really important to me. I always say, of course, as a man, first and foremost, we're very egotistical. I am a type A person. I don't need anybody to do anything for me, and especially another man coming into my house. And so a lot of people will reject that opportunity to say, I have it. But I had to go and humble myself to say, Ralph, you know, there's some things that you cannot teach Josiah, which is a lot about his heritage, who he is, where he came from, and why he smiles and why he acts the certain way that he does. And those behavioral traits, those are passed down from his biological father. Who's the best person to teach him? His biological father, you know? And so those are the type of things that we can actually present. And our goal on being on the show is to show what love looks like, not even about race or anything, but these are what relationships go through, the various different challenges and how to navigate those differences. And so I think that was a great opportunity to highlight on the show.
Was that like a hard decision for you? You know, like, cause you know, on the show, it doesn't seem like, you know, it was, but I know there's a lot that doesn't get seen, but you know, like as like a type A, you know, like you're a man, you don't need anyone to show you how to do anything. Like, was that a hard decision or no, it was just an easy decision that this is the right thing to do?
Yeah, I'm confident. You know, I there's nothing that I worry about at all. So this was bigger than me. And I took the stance to say, look, this is what we need to do. As long as everybody's respectful, you know, if you're somebody that's disrespectful, it's a different story, but as long as it's respect and there's love, there's true concern, why not?
And how's that going today? It's going well.
It's going well. You know, this, of course, is a slow process. JoJo is very much himself. He only cares about a few things. And so being able to really have an impact on him does take some time and a lot of effort. So it's something that's going to have to build over time, but it's not something that's going to be very quick.
And then, you know, you say you got a lot of hate from this 3 days in Tampa. Like, did you get a lot of positive, you know, did a lot of people reach out to you after this story kind of aired itself, of like how you handled yourself?
I wouldn't say a lot of positivity. I would say a lot of people did confidentially. They reached out and said, Ralph, I can relate with you. You know, I was in that same position before, and I know that you had to get away to really be your best self. And I will say that. One thing in particular, and I feel like people sometimes can judge and say, you can't, why did you leave? Why did you leave? But at the same time, you think about why did you stay when it's something that's very contentious and you know that it's not going to be a positive outcome. I think we sometimes don't do that enough. Like, distance sometimes make the heart grow fonder, and it also allows you to clear your head to figure out, number one, where should you be? What's in your best interest, and how can you be your best self? Because really, if you're not your best self, you're not good for anybody. That's for my wife. That's for my family or anybody else. And the last thing you want to do is start projecting something that's negative on everyone else just because you decide to stay.
That makes sense. And I mean, with the whole Josiah and his father, people must have been positive responses to that, right? Like, I'm sure you heard from people of like, you handled that really well.
Oh, yeah. I think so everyone has trauma in their life, and it just so happens that this show is a great release and outlet for people to actually see some of the things that either one happened to themselves or to see themselves, you know, also. You know, so what happened with me, a lot of people reached out to just talk about their story. I've had people reach out and say, man, if my father has been gone for 30 years, but if he came back in, I would take him back and forget about the whole entire 30 or the time that he was gone. So it was like really, really powerful, because I think blended families, number one, they're really challenging to begin with. But how do you navigate that relationship to where it could be positive? Or if your father left your life and hasn't been around, what's the reason behind it? It's, a lot of people start to hate people for whatever kind of challenges, yeah. And it becomes trauma that you start to live and deal with. But how can you release that and see a different perspective in order for you to really heal and also to forgive as well?
My lips get so chapped, and this is a problem I basically had my whole life, and I didn't know where to turn. I tried everything, and that is when I heard of Chop Saver. Chop Saver was created by a trumpet player, someone who uses their lips all day for work. And I figured, who better than to turn to than someone who has heavy use on their lips? It's a good place to start. Well, it's the only place I needed to go after discovering Chop Saver. Chop Saver combines a special blend of healing herbs and natural moisturizers to help you crack that smile without cracking your lips. It's soothing. It comes in two types, and it has a nice, great citrus flavor. I am telling you, my lips feel good and taste good all day. It's lip relief like I've never known before. And now, as a Behind the Velvet Rope listener, you get 15% off for a limited time. Go to chopsaver.com and enter the code VELVET. That's right, chopsaver.com and enter the code VELVET, and you'll get 15% off. I love that it's organic. I love the taste. I love the smooth, silky texture. And hey, while I'm talking to you guys all day here behind the velvet rope, my lips have never felt better. Chopsaver.com, enter the code VELVET for 15% off. That makes a lot of sense too. Did you ever go down that rabbit hole of like, you know, you weren't on TV, even though, you know, you work kind of in the entertainment business, you know, of all those opinions, like everyone having an opinion, all this hate coming, like, you know, did you go down that, like, it's easy to read all the comments and just go there? You know, a lot of people, I mean, you know, like it, well, you know, a lot of people that are not on a show and then they have this platform and then they start getting all these negative comments, you know, sometimes it's a hard thing to adjust to. It takes like months, and some people just go down that rabbit hole where they're reading every comment and responding, right? Like, really, you know, so like, did you go there? Like, you know, cause I mean, you're human. It would be understandable that you would read all this and be like, fuck you, like, right, why, right, you know, right. And or like take it in and just be like, man, or you just were always good, you know, like I used to read it all. Now nothing bothers me. I read it, I'm like, let's move on. But like, where were you on that? Like, did it affect you?
It impacted me tremendously. Matter of fact, we had some friends over when to watch the first episode, and I'm telling you, once that scene aired and my Instagram just started just loading up, you're a piece of shit, you're da, 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 she should leave you, and like it started going crazy. I was there just sitting like, oh my god, people hate me. And so it was something I had to get used to. And so I questioned, should I turn my comments off? And I ended up leaving it on. I talked to my counselor also. She's like, Ralph, a lot of people need to go and get the trauma off their chest, because people are looking at abandonment. Because that's what I did for a lot of people. It was like Ralph abandoned his wife, and I had abandonment in my life, and that's what I'm experiencing. And now this is a trigger telling me about what this looks like. I hate him, you know, and I hate him because it also happened to me. So allowing people to get that off their chest and just go crazy and type, and, you know, and they were able to go and release. So I had to go through it even for myself, just like you did, which was great. How do you go and process this negativity so that you can actually get used to it and become immune to where if you see a negative comment, you're like, okay, this is going to just roll off of me. It took a second. Let me tell you this, I'm not 100% immune yet. There are certain things that might possibly penetrate me, but I'm a million times better now. If somebody says something negative, I'm just like, ah, okay, whatever.
That's not bad after just one season.
It's an adjustment. And then, of course, if it gets too crazy, I got that old good old block button, you know? Block.
That block button is, I mean, I don't know what people are thinking. You're like, I can just block you now. And I mean, we can keep doing this. You can create fake accounts all day. I could just keep blocking them. I don't get
right.
it.
Right.
What about, were you ever worried that, like, when you said, like, all these people were like, I hate you, were you ever worried that, like, that was going to spill over into your, like, day job of going into all these companies, and especially now that, you know, people are going back to work, like, you know, because people recognize you, like you said, do you ever worry about that? I mean, I assume that hasn't really spilled over. I mean, one thing has nothing to do with the other, or has it?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, I have a public image, right? And also, I'm represent these large enterprises as well. And so I'm always the face. I think when it comes down to it, you always have to carry yourself with a certain conduct. Yes, I definitely thought about it and thought about the impact, but at the same time, these are personal things. It wasn't nothing that, you know, damaged the integrity of any organization that I'm maybe affiliated with. These are personal issues that people go through, and majority of people actually happen. It just so happens behind closed doors. Mine just happens to be public and open to the world to see. So I even get, especially from an executive perspective, I'm just like a lot of executives, not all, but I'm a lot like a lot of them. We're all type A. We are all very, you know, detailed, but we all have our breaking points where we need to get away at some point. With the world closing down, where is your outlet? A lot of executives travel. And so they can always, okay, you know what? I got a business trip. I'm gonna go here. That gives me a chance to just clear my mind, get my thoughts together, and really be able to process where I need to be, get back to my healthiest and my best self. During a pandemic, everyone was basically in a box. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run. You can't go to Starbucks and sit down for a coffee. There's nothing you can do. So anything, you just got to take it. So look, at the end of the day, this is where we are.
What about now? I mean, I'm not judging you because I don't judge anyone, but I'm just, okay, no, here's the only thing I'm saying is, did you had receipts. So we don't, I mean, you had all your receipts. There was phone calls. I'm not judging at all, but I'm just saying, even with his receipts, did it ever cross your mind that the optics of Tampa, Florida being the stripper capital of the world, which I don't know if you knew, I know Andy Cohn pointed it out, I knew that. Couldn't you have gone to Miami? Couldn't you have gone like to Sarasota, Florida? So many places in Florida.
Yeah, but all of those it requires a plane during a pandemic. So, I mean, so you're right. A couple of things. One is, like, I'm a very analytical person, so I thought about different things. And so even some of my well thought out ideas probably didn't turn out as well, right? Miami, definitely the place to go. I would have went there in a heartbeat, but I had to get on a plane because there's no way in hell I'm driving down there. I had to look at things that actually made sense for me to go. They're like, why didn't you go to a beach in Georgia? I'm like, who the hell wants to go to a beach in Georgia? Like, you know, I'm going to go to Florida. Florida is the place you're going to go if you're going to go to any kind of a beach. And so that's what I ended up doing. I didn't know if Tampa was the stripper capital of the world. And I don't know if the reality is that those strip clubs, I don't know if they appeal to me as much anyway. You know, I have a certain type of a club that I'm going to go to if I'm going to go to a strip club. So really, and the best ones are in Miami and in Atlanta. This is a strip club capital to me, as well as on the East Coast. New York strip clubs are phenomenal. If I'm gonna go to a strip club, that's where I'm gonna go.
You like your strip, like what type of strip club do you like? A little more upscale?
I can, but I mean, it all kind of depends on the music that they're playing. You know, something I can, the quality of woman that they have there. You know, it's certain things, and it's a certain dynamic and a vibe that you get from various different strip clubs. So it's just not, you just don't go to just anything. I'm not going to go to a hole in a wall. If I'm going to go to something, it's going to be something nice.
That makes sense. Well, listen, you had your receipt. So I think if there's anything to learn from housewives, I mean, in being a house husband, it's always have the receipts. Always have the receipts.
Better have your proof.
Like, you've learned something from your first season without even realizing that this is a cardinal rule in the housewives, whether you're the husband or the wife, you always have the receipts. What about, you know, because I think everyone has trouble in relationships. Like, that's mm-hmm. just how it works, especially marriages. So I find it commendable, you know, that you and Drew were so open and honest, like you went to counseling, mm-hmm. you know, was there ever anything too personal where you're like, oh, you know, I know this is what we signed up for, but like, why is this on national TV? I mean, I know it was too late to back out, but, and I think you guys handled that really well. And that's like an open, honest view of a marriage.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, I mean, you hit it on the head. That's it. You know, I think there's everything just because you just don't know. We came onto the show being open. And that's what we agreed to doing. Like, all right, we're just going to be open. We're going to live our lives. We just didn't plan on all these different situations to actually occur for the world to see. But hey, it's a part of our life. And, you know, we're being organic. And so whatever happens, pretty much happens. And we just got to take it on the chin and just go from there. If it's something that puts us in a negative position or a negative place, hey, it is what it is. And you grow from it. A lot of people are dealing with those same challenges also. So it's a matter of just being able to just navigate. I call it navigating the BS, right? Just navigate whatever it is. How can you get to the next place? It's all about the destination to me. You may be derailed, but how do you get back on course?
And, you know, I think a lot of people aren't really honest about counseling and in getting help or just throw in the towel too early. So I mean, like, how's the counseling going? Like, was that like a huge factor in like kind of helping you guys get back on course?
Oh, it was tremendous. Just because it's a lot of various different aspects that you just need. You hit on the head, right? If you don't know yourself and you don't know why you tick or what may be going on or the past trauma that you're dealing with, how do you navigate and how do you be able to move beyond? I feel like where Drew and I are now, our issues and challenges are, you know, just on another level, you know. So let's go to the beginning. The genesis is finding somebody that has those areas of compatibility that you feel like you can actually get along with. Do I like you? And then once you find somebody that you actually like, it's like, all right, now how can we grow together? And what does that mean? For us, it was kids, legacy. And now it's, all right, let's go and build business together. Let's go and build enterprise so that we can actually be able to have something to pass down to our kids. So our problems are different, right? We're in a different bracket, you know? So with that being the case, our challenges and issues are completely different. They look and feel different. And then also finding people and counsel and help that has the exact situation that we have, because if you don't have a blended family, you may not be able to relate with us. We may not have the same issues. And so it's understanding who you can talk to, who can really understand the position that you're in. I'm a business guy. Can you talk business to me? Because my wife, she's a thespian. Can you talk it and speak in such a creative way that it makes sense and resonates with her? Because just pure business may not, you know? So how can you communicate to both parties and effectively allow us to be able to grow and see each other better?
That's a good point too. Did any part of like watching yourself back on the show, like with, as it relates to like marital issues, like did that help more? You know what I mean? Like sometimes like people say like, oh, well, I saw myself, you know, it's almost like watching yourself. You're like, I did that in that situation, man. And I'm not talking about 3 days in Tampa. I'm just talking about overall. Like, yeah, overall. Did that help? Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It did. It allowed me to see myself a little different. I'm like, yeah, so I can't do that anymore. Or I can see how Drew may feel about certain situations. I may come off sometimes not being that emotional, and I'm not an emotional guy. You know,
it's because your business. Trust me. I am not an emotional person at all either. Yeah, I am all business all day, every day. So I get right. it.
So with her, I can understand and see myself and say, all right, you know, this is a time where Drew may need to talk, or she may want me to be there, but I can't be there all the time, or we will always be stuck in a vicious cycle. I need to make sure things are growing, but it has to be a delicate balance. So I did have a chance to see myself. And also, you know, for me leaving and stuff like that, I can understand also that aspect, right? How could she actually feel about it and how other people felt because I was a trigger? So, you know, I'm trying to make sure I'm not as much of a trigger, but I am who I am. So, hey.
You are who you are. Yes. And listen, that's what about, you know, so many couples, like it seems, get divorced that are on reality TV. And like, I've had this discussion with other people, like men and women, like, do you think like reality TV, like say that this goes on for like 10 years for you and Drew, like you're still on the show, or 5 years, like, do you ever worry about that, like quote unquote reality TV curse, that people change because they're on TV? Fame is an addictive drug for a lot of people. Like, you know, that almost like being on a show would have a negative impact on your marriage.
I think the benefit that we have probably over other couples that may come onto the show is that first, Drew is not a stranger to the screen. So the fame aspect she's already had. Me, the thing about it is like, I feel like I've already accomplished a lot. I'm self-made. I've already had a ton of money to begin with coming onto the platform. So the only difference is now a lot more people know me. So I think that if anything, Drew actually was probably more nervous of me than I probably was of her. But nothing bothers me. This stuff doesn't waver me or make me feel like I need to change, because it's just a different platform, a different area and arena. But outside of that, I'm staying true to who I am.
That's good. Don't change. If you're still on the show in 5 or 10 years, just don't change.
I'm going to grow and evolve. But I'm not going to change and become more of an asshole. Like, that's one thing I had a conversation with Drew about. I was like, listen, one thing about me you can say is I'm very consistent. I don't care, because, of course, I shouldn't say I didn't come from nothing, but literally I came from poverty. So coming from poverty and not having much money and now having, enough to be able to live the lifestyle I want hasn't changed me at all. I'm like, there's nothing that's going to really change me. It's just a different kind of an element, but I am who I am. And that's the good thing.
That is the good thing. What about, did you get any advice? We had Mr. Mike Hill on the show here. We love our Mike Hill. Like, did you get any advice from like Mike or, Todd Tucker or any of the other house hubbies on Atlanta, like when you first started or when the show started airing?
Yes, absolutely. Those are my guys. And so I had an opportunity to sit down with both of them. They were like, listen, Ralph, one thing about this platform is people will set you up. Everyone is clout chasing. Everyone is looking for a storyline. And so they will blast you at any given point in time. They told me about some of the stories that they had where, for instance, if you're single, if I'm sitting with a woman, I have to already think that somebody may be trying to take a picture. So you have to limit that exposure and not give somebody something that ends up on a blog. So that's one big thing. And then making sure that you communicate and tell your wife where you're going so that she isn't in the dark. And if you are, for instance, in me, I'm always doing a business meetings. If I'm out having a lunch or doing a lunch meeting and somebody snaps a picture, that my wife knows where I'm at. So it's not one of these big things that she's finding out about on the blog. So that was one of the probably most impactful things. I'm like, got it.
And they told you, right? Like if you're at a business meeting and you're just sitting there having coffee, it doesn't matter. Like that's what Mike told you or Todd. They were just like, somebody could take this picture and there could be a whole caption within like an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm on a platform, you can't forget that you're on that platform, and which is something that can easily happen. You walk around and you just feel like you're regular, but people may actually be looking for a story and somebody may actually take something and twist it around and make it something that it's not. The thing is, how you get out of it is making sure that everyone knows where you are. So there's just certain things I have to do and be cognizant about, as I navigate life now. So I had to make those adjustments.
It's different, right?
It's completely different.
When, there was that one scene at Lake Bailey where I think like you were talking to Mike about being away for like 3 days. Like, does someone like Mike then say to you, when there's no filming, like just an FYI, you might, this is a thing like this, cause like they've been doing it for so long. Like when Mike was here, he said like, he can tell like that one little sentence that I had with Cynthia, that's going to be 17 episodes. I got it. Like did someone like a Mike pull you aside and say, it's not a big deal, but trust me, this is now going to be a thing.
I think everybody on my team has told me that, because just because of how I communicate sometimes is very straightforward and direct. And I probably need to be probably more well thought out. But, so I think that the whole thing is the way I communicate may be great for television, but it'll get me in a lot of trouble. That's the area. So I can say something and somebody can take it and twist it around and say, did you mean this? And I'm like, no, this is the context. But however somebody perceives it is how they perceive it. And it is what it is. Now it's blown out of context and it's kind of hard to try to reel it back in. So really watching your words, being very intentional on what you say is a big deal. I'm learning. There may be things I say right now and I'm like, yeah, I probably should have just twisted that around and said it a different way. But that's a part of the process. So you just got to learn and grow and figure out what you're going to do. I know for a fact I'm going to bump my head a bunch of times and eventually I'll get it.
look, you're being honest. And like, I think that's all someone could ask, as opposed to there's a lot of people that come on that you feel like you're watching them and you're like, they're like, they're trying, like they know what they're doing. That's when the audience tunes out, when you're like, that person may be new, but they know what they're doing. And they're like manipulating every scene to like come off. That's when the audience is like, good luck. So I think people relate to just human beings that like, today's a good day, tomorrow's going to be a bad day. That's just how it is.
Right.
Did you get more flack online? And then we'll move on. We're not going to just talk about this for the fact that you went away for 3 days, or the fact that there was this whole element now of these cameras in the house.
I get more flack about the 3 days by far. The camera situation, I'm protecting my family. And so I want to make sure everything is safe. Yes, I have cameras. I feel like if you don't have cameras, then how do you know what's going on in your house? And so I'm a big advocate. I think my big problem is just Drew didn't know about where the cameras were placed and positioned. I didn't think it was a big deal. Once again, there's a lot of things I don't think that are like critical, but you can watch. I'll tell you like, oh, there's a camera there. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to make sure that my family is all safe. Everybody is in doing what they need to do, and I can have eyes on it. That's important to me.
I mean, if you think about it, even like I have a cleaning lady, like I think I don't think there's anything wrong with cameras. You just, if you're someone's in your apartment, like I've heard stories about like doorman. I mean, in New York, going into certain people's apartments, I'll spare you the details, but you're just like, you just don't know. I mean, these are the people that know when you're away for 2 weeks and your house is empty. It's, So
think about this also. All of a sudden, you have to go out of town on business. And so this is something I did for my wife, right? So she has to go out of town. How do you know that the kids are okay? How do you know the kids are sleeping comfortably and there's no problems? How do you know that they're happy or not? Camera. You know, now you can just drop in and just watch them and see and make sure that they're okay. It's really truly just functionality. Once again, I'm a technology guy, so I'm going to have the latest and greatest in technology just to make sure that I have the ability to, number one, have eyes and ears where I need to have them, and also to make sure that we can function better, because that's the whole thing about technology to begin with, is to really enable you to be more efficient.
Yes. Was it hard going, were you nervous to go to your first reunion? Like, you know, you hear so many things about a reunion, or at that point you're just like, let's get this over with. I mean, I know it was Drew's and it was the women's, but you know, the house husbands are part of the reunion. Mm-hmm. How was that?
I feel like it was different. It was exciting at first. I think hearing all the women going at each other, blah, 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 I'm like, oh my God, this is too much. I need a drink already. This is way too much arguing. I mean, of course, you don't hear men argue that much. You know, at some point in time, it's like, okay, I've hit my limit here. This is it. It's not going anywhere here. Now I need to go. But for them, it was a different kind of an element.
Was it hard to that point, like even during the season, like to watch, you know, like you said, like Drew got the show, like to watch her wife or like hear about it, you know, here she comes home, like this girl, Kenya, did this to me. You know, like you're type A, you're the man, like you want to protect your family. Like, is that hard? Like, cause you know, now Drew is in these situations where there's all this drama.
Right. Yeah, I think it was something I just had to just go with. Of course, I've always listened to my wife vent and talk about the different challenges. And that's what I need to understand, when I need to be an ear or I need to actually help. And that's the thing. It's just a lot more conversations now. And it's like every day it's a situation that happened. Okay, here, you got to block off some time to have this discussion and be ready for it.
There is a lot. Was there any drama, even if it didn't concern Drew, just that you were just like, what? Like, I can't believe this is like, you know, on these shows, sometimes a little thing becomes a big thing. Like, you know, just between Kenya and Cynthia, were you just like, oh my God, there's so much drama everywhere.
Oh, all the time. It's inevitable. I think they're talking about her weave or her hair a lot, you know, so.
You're like, I'm going to have to block off more time tonight to hear about all of this.
Serious.
What about, you know, like at the reunion when like someone like a Candy, like Burra says, I mean, she might've looked at you when she says like, oh, okay, well I would, you know, if it were me, I would have appreciated knowing where you were earlier or hearing about receipts earlier. You know, like she said something like that. Does that bother you? Like when it's the other like Drew's colleagues that now are looking kind of directly at you and they have an opinion? I mean, it's your marriage.
No, I mean, let me tell you, I don't have all the answers. So I value outside opinions all the time. I mean, you better have an opinion or something to say. So it's a matter of what, if it resonates with me or not, and it's my job to take it. But I can understand that. I tried to focus in on the reason why I left, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter about where I went and what I was doing. If we don't correct the root cause of it, then what's going to prevent me from leaving again? I call it like we got to put a preventative action in place. Let's talk about the real problem, the root cause of it, and be able to solve that. That's the most important part. But you know, I learned women, they don't care about that. They care about what you were doing and where you went, and that's all they care about. I'm like, what about the actual problem, right? So it is what it is. It's one of those kind of things. But once again, that goes back to my pragmatic, very rational side of who I am. I can care less about that stuff. That is irrelevant to me.
Well, that is a very pragmatic and like what people gain through counseling, like, you know, looking at the root of it and then kind of explaining like, it's not personal. Like, this is why I did. Yeah. I think that's, look, I think that's the whole, for any couple that's fighting, it's just like, people are so mad about things instead of really looking at like what caused me to do this and kind of working it out. So you're going to, you know, like I commend you. Not that you need my approval for anything. What did you learn from this experience? Like, what did you learn? Like, did you learn anything about yourself having been part of Real Housewives of Atlanta for one season and watching yourself back, good or bad?
Oh yeah.
My questions are not all shady. Like, this is, I'm not digging for anything.
No. It's all good. All good. I mean, I appreciate the question. You know, there's a lot to learn. I feel like I learned a lot about myself and how I navigate certain things. I learned how I can come off and look. I learned that you don't know what I do, you know? So it's like, wait a minute. I probably need to do a better job in actually highlighting and showing who I am and what I stand for and what I do for a living. Although I'd be like, well, you can just go to my LinkedIn page. I learned that people don't really take time to, like, whatever you see or whatever somebody sees, that's pretty much what they perceive. And there are people at various different levels. So I think I'm starting to learn a lot about just how I can come across. I think I'm learning a lot about this new reality as I'm walking into it and what I should be doing, focused on, and how to really navigate it correctly. So there's a lot that I'm actually learning because it's a new space for me altogether.
Who are you closest to in the cast?
Mike and Todd. Those are my guys. I mean, I think I'm probably close to both of them.
You guys talk all the time. Do you guys have a text chain going?
No, we don't have that. We check in. Also, Dennis is my guy also. I'll definitely say so. The men, I feel like we have like a bond, because at the end of the day, we are all in this together. So, you know, we have our conversations and everything just to make sure we check in. Dennis, our kids are in the same age, so we're going to have like play dates that we'll pull together. And I need to do one with Todd. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely need to do one with Todd soon also.
You do?
Yeah.
What about, I mean, speaking of Dennis, like when you see this, you know, this whole thing going on now with that fact that like Portia is engaged to like Simon. Simon was married to Fallon. Fallon was on the show. I mean, this is all people are talking about in the Real Housewives of Atlanta world. I mean, does that shock you?
Oh, it's very shocking. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? I've never seen it. It's interesting, I should say. You know, it's something that kind of took me by storm. But once again, I kind of stay above everything and just focus on what I got to do. But it was something that is just like, this is kind of new, a little different.
It's a lot.
It is.
Does someone like a Dennis call you and say, look what's going on?
I have to do it. I owe Dennis a call, actually. So I definitely owe him a conversation just on the whole situation, just to make sure that he's cool with what's happening. Because, I mean, once again, we have egos, and there's a lot. It's a lot to have another man inside of your house. So it's something that takes a toll. And we sometimes overlook those kind of things. And so, yeah, I definitely owe him a call to talk about that a little more.
Tell him that I said, I hope he's doing okay.
I will.
What about, you know, this whole Bolo situation, which also was a huge thing, you know, last season? Were you just like, you know, like when you watch that back and, you know, like that episode, are you like, oh my God, what is going on?
I was like, oh, these ladies out here living their best life. They over here doing it all. So, I mean, it was, yeah. I'm like, hey, at the end of the day, we tried to position a bachelor party for Mike because we need to do a redo of his. They went all out. We didn't do half of what they did for theirs for Mike. So I'm like, we definitely need a redo.
You guys need a mate. Listen, it's hard to top Bolo in a cage and all sorts of other things. Well, you can do a redo next season.
I know, right?
What, you know, anything you can tell us about season 14?
Nothing. I can't, you know, I think I have no information. Basically, I kind of wait for my wife to tell me what's going on. But once again, I am the husband of the show. And so things come downstream to me, basically. And so I hear about what's going on. As soon as I hear something, you'll hear about it.
Well, I would say 99.9% Drew will be going back, just looking at my crystal ball. Which means you will be there. Is there anything like you would do different?
This year, this season, next season?
Season 14.
Probably not. I mean, my thing is I still want to go in there and be authentic. I want to show what relationships look like. And we have this the same outcome for the most part. It's just matter. It's just really truly showing how we can be a unit and navigate things. Marriage is challenging and we want to use the platform to show how marriages can actually work also and show the ups and downs. So it'll be nice, but we also want to show some more positive things. I feel like we didn't have enough time last season to really show, you know, really who we are. It was just like, here you go. We didn't have the niceties, like the, hey, let me show you guys how Ralph treats his wife and how they get along well. It was just like all out. We're at the table. Where did you go for 3 days? You know, we want to actually show us just being ourselves a lot more. So that's, I would say that's something to look forward to.
This is why when I sat down to prepare for this, I'm like, I can read all this stuff, but I'm like, I don't understand what Ralph does. Like, I mean, I understand some of what you do. I'm like, I just don't understand what else. So I'm like, here you are. I might as well ask. I'm like, if I have this question, I'm sure everyone has this question.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, and that's the thing. I definitely need to probably do some more work on just making sure that it's out there. But definitely, if you look at my LinkedIn page has a lot of my whole entire history on everything I've done from a business profession, you know, so it's something I actually do boast. I'm also a life coach, do speaking and motivational things outside of just being a producer. So it's like I have my hands involved in a lot of different things. And then on top of that, we also have a film and television production company called Eudora Entertainment. So that's another thing that we also do have.
Are you developing or working on anything related to that?
Yeah, so we have one movie that we're getting ready to release called And You Call Yourself a Christian. We have a couple other productions in the mix also. So we're working.
Is there something you like the best out of all of this? You know, your tech side, your fitness, music, production, like you do a lot. You're a true entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's, you know what, I think it all creates and balances me out to be who I am. I don't think I'm just one faceted. I consider myself as being extremely layered. And, you know, really understanding how to really present that sometimes get challenging because it's a lot of various different things that really truly complete who I am. But I think ultimately who I am is somebody that really wants to get the best out of people. And so whatever that might be in the realm of actually being able to communicate and talk to people, seeing them through the television show where they see me there, fitness, everything, it all comes back to an experience. And that's what I'm looking to do is create a great experience using technology, of course.
What about, have you heard from anyone? Like, I know Drew is like in the entertainment business before, as were you, but have you heard from anyone like either like in the Bravo world, like Rihanna, she does slip into a lot of Housewives DMs. Like she's open and honest about the fact that she loves Housewives. Like, have you or Drew heard from someone, you know, like either in the Bravo world or like, they don't have to be as famous as Rihanna, but someone like that, right, where you're like, oh, this person likes watching my wife and I on TV every week.
No, I think a lot of people, I think it's a community. right? It's a community. And so there's a lot of people who actually have reached out, just, you know, introduced themselves from different shows because we're all in this together. I would say that I probably know most of the guys this in this world also. And so it's like, we have our community, the women, Drew's networking with them, because once again, you're kind of in here and you need people that can like lift you up and show you the ropes and show you what things to do, what not to do. And it's all about how you navigate. But I think the most valuable thing that people have said is, hey, just be yourself and be real, you know, be authentic. Because people, as you said a little earlier, people can feel it when you're not, you know, when you're coming off being scripted. And I think that's the whole thing that we're looking to do is just, you know, be ourselves and present ourselves. And I'm just going to support my wife, whatever she wants to do.
Is there one house husband or two house husbands, like other than Mike and Todd, that sticks to the top of your mind of like, somehow I'm developing a friendship with this one? You know, we just talk more than others.
You know, I would say, I wouldn't say anyone is like, I think it's pretty neutral. You know, it's been pretty neutral. I think everybody got their head down. So I talk to everybody fairly sporadic. And so it's not one person that I'm really truly grabbing toward. I think I probably gravitate more towards people that's on my show right now. And
that makes sense.
Yeah.
If it was up to you, before we wrap up, if it was up to you, I mean, and someone said, you have experience producing, we're going to come to you. So now, you know, you and Drew are going on to season 14, but you are allowed to choose someone not to go on. You could leave Cynthia behind. You could leave Candy behind, Miss Kenya, Portia. Is there one wife that you would say, let's just move on without her?
I'm not that invested. I don't know. I would never be able to answer that question. It's not even about me. So I wouldn't think about it in any kind of context. Really, truly, everybody brings a different element to the table with this. And, you know, for me, I didn't even really have a chance to really get. And of course, I've been able to meet everyone like off screen, but I haven't really been able to really be able to build that synergy and everything else on screen to understand everyone's dynamics. So I think, and that was all due to the pandemic. I think next season probably will be a lot different where people will be able to actually be able to shoot a lot closer together and we'll be able to develop even stronger relationships and bonds.
Completely. Before we go, how are all the kids? How is Drew? How's the rest of the family doing these days? And yes, the pandemic being over, you're going to have a much different experience next season.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the world opening back up. But yeah, my family, everyone is doing phenomenal. They're growing fast. I looked at my daughter yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute, you're getting tall. And so it's one of those kind of shocking feelings. I'm looking at little kids now and I'm like, man, I remember when Anahi was that big, you know, that small, I should say. And it's a cute age, but now seeing her grow up and coming to herself is like, it's pretty amazing. And so everyone is doing great. Makai and JoJo, they're all developing. And matter of fact, I took JoJo to get a haircut. Before, he would cry when you pick his hair. Now he's just sitting there. I'm like, man, you're growing up. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm starting to see my seeds that I've planted starting to pay off now. So it's kind of cool just watching them grow and evolve.
And that's got to be like, when you look back, it's like you're getting these home movies, like of the highest quality.
Yes. You know? Yes, 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 yes. It's phenomenal.
What is next for you? Anything else you want to leave us with? I mean, I feel like I have my own agendas. Thank you for answering all my questions, but I like to give people a platform at the end to mention anything that they would like that I may not have brought up.
Yeah, absolutely. When we did bring it, we brought a lot of it up. So definitely, I have an animation getting ready to come out for my Mind Music for Kids. That's going to be released very, very, very soon on YouTube. So look out for that. I'm excited about it. A couple other things. Rip with Ralph. Excuse me. That's something that really, truly we're pushing to the next level just to really educate people on fitness and making sure that you know exactly what to do to live healthier lives. And lastly, you know, speaking engagements and things of that nature, watch out for all the various different things that may be coming. So definitely just follow everything on IG and Twitter, Ralph Pittman Jr.
When you do speaking engagements, is it one topic over others? Like, what do you get booked for the most to speak? Because you are very well-spoken and have a good, healthy view on life.
Oh, thank you. You know, it depends. So sometimes it may be technology related. Other times it's talking about life. You know, I think I want to start gearing towards even, you know, having a blended family and what that dynamic looks like, because it's confusing. you don't kind of know, and you just kind of just get thrown into the fire and you try to figure it out and you beat your head against the ground just trying to do it. It's hard to just navigate. But, you know, those are the things that I really want to do. And then also just making sure that you live your best life. So really, truly talking about the different fundamentals, how you can be, you know, greater.
I love it. So say your socials one more time so everyone can find you with all these projects and Ripped with Ralph, which I checked out on your Instagram yesterday. So tell everyone where
you can find you. Yeah. So you can find me at Ralph Pittman Jr. on all social platforms right now. So, and then my website, ralphpittman.com.
That's easy. When the show comes back on, you'll have to come back on and share all sorts of updates.
You got it. You got it. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the next time.
I really appreciate your time. It's been great getting to know you better. You know, say hi to everyone and you'll be back. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much. Also, you take care now.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review. Because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones. And the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.